Welcome to the Depth Podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Miller. Here we are going to be diving deep into the layers of the human experience, talking about what it looks like to live in pleasure and play, while also dipping into what it feels like to swim in the darker, more shadowy sides of life. I'm an embodiment and sacred sexuality mentor, guiding hearts into more pleasure and intimacy in their everyday life. I'm a lover, a connector, and an intuitive who is here to simply pour more love into this planet. Come play with me and let's go deep.
Hey there, it's DJ Junie Tunes back on the mic. What is happening? This is wild to be back. I ghosted my podcast for months. I apologize. I didn't mean to do that to you. Genuinely had a pretty rough year. I think the last time I recorded a podcast was August, so I'm not far off from completing it to be a full year since I left. But yeah, it's been a trying time. I've been in a deep season of grief. I've lost some loved ones. I have transitioned to a new living space, uncoupling. It has been a lot, and I will, I'm sure, get into that eventually. But that's not what today's episode is about. Today's episode is about my Tantra jungle retreat that I did in June in Costa Rica. And this was a facilitator's training for the year-long program that I am taking to become a certified love, sex, and relationship coach. So this jungle retreat was intense. It was kind of what I was expecting and not at all what I was expecting in the same way. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about sexuality and neutralized a lot of things that had charged for me, like nudity and my relationship with intimacy in a non-sexual touch, sisterhood wounds, familial stuff, like healing, felt grief on a deep level, was able to have deep, insightful breakthroughs and the type of healing that I've been really craving and needing in this season of my life. So yeah, this retreat was really transformational, and I get together with my friend Steph, who attended the retreat with me, and we just digested it. We chatted about what happened there, our takeaways, our impressions, what we felt, what we experienced, and we also talk about how we integrate this work back into the real world as coaches and facilitators. So I hope you love it. I hope you love the insider look at what happened during this week-long immersive retreat. And I love you. Thank you for being here. I really was nervous to get back on the microphone, and I thought I would have to do some big like relaunch of the podcast and do a new photo shoot and hype it up and all of these things. And I was just like, honestly, I love podcasting. I'm just going to sit down and frickin' record a podcast. So if you want to celebrate with that with me, I invite you to celebrate that. Send me a message. Let me know what your thoughts about this podcast were. And if you go back and listen to any of the ones that you missed from last year or the year before, I'd love to hear that as well. Your feedback honestly keeps me going. Podcasts are such delayed gratification. There's so much work that you do, and then you put them out into the world and you're just like, oh, I hope this lands for someone. I hope this supports someone. I hope this makes someone laugh. And when you get to tell me later that it did, it just like lights me up and keeps me going. So like I said, I love you. I hope you enjoy this interview with Steph, not an interview, but chit chat with Steph, and we'll see you in the next one. I'm not going to make any promises for when I'll be back because I don't want to disappoint, but I am excited to be back on the microphone, and I feel like this new era of me is really going to take well to podcasting. So, okay. I love you. Bye. Into the interview we go. I mean, into the chat we go. Okay, welcome back. This is so weird. I was just saying, I hope I know how to podcast still after being off for so long, but we are jumping in with a juicy episode here. I have my friend Steph to join us to talk about a retreat experience that we had just in Costa Rica. We both are facilitators and coaches in the sex, love, and relationship space. And Steph is joining me today to talk about how that retreat went for us in Nosara. So, Steph, why don't you introduce yourself? Show the people. I know you're the first one who has made a double appearance on this podcast. So, welcome back.
Yay, we love it. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to have this conversation because wow, what an experience we had, which we'll get into. But yes, my name is Steph Morris. I'm a love, sex, and money coach. And I am so happy that we shared this retreat experience together. What a blessing. And yeah, how much do you want me to explain about myself before we go in? Or is that enough? You tell me.
Yeah, I think whatever you feel good, if there's anything else you want to kind of expand on, but you don't need to go up your whole history or anything like that. We do have an episode.
That takes way too long. So yeah. I work with women on female sexuality. I have a program called Sex Queen, and I really love to work with women to break free from the cages that they're living in so that they can step more into their authenticity. And I love to do this through the work of sexuality because, as you know, that transfers into every area of life. And from my own personal experience, it changed me. It changed my relationships. It changed everything. And I'm super passionate about spreading this work with other women because this is where we feel liberated, where we feel pleasure, where we feel bliss and step into living the life that we've always dreamed of. So long story short, very short version, that's me. And we obviously both live in Toronto.
Yes.
Neighbors.
Yes. I'm sure people are going to ask, but where's your accent from?
From England, of course. Yeah. Yes, which is where I am right now. I'm back at my family home having I'm having like a hot girl summer in Europe. So a little bit of a Europe tour. So we love it.
Oh, yes. So good. Me and Steph have a really cute friendship story. We actually connected back, I think it was 2019 or early 2020. And we don't really know how we got connected online, but we ended up being Instagram friends. Steph attended a workshop of mine, my very first workshop I ever did in the space of sexuality. And we have stayed connected ever since. Steph did the Vita Love, Sex, and Relationship coaching certification that I'm doing right now last year, but she was attending the treat this year. So we actually got to spend that whole week together, which is really special. I didn't know that she was going to be coming when I signed up. So Costa Rica changed us. So let's start out with what were you expecting when you first signed up for the retreat? Like, what were your thoughts in going into it? Where was your headspace?
I think I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was a sacred sexuality retreat with 100 women. And that was going to be intense. Like, and I was thinking, this is going to be all pleasure. We're going to be talking about sex. We're going to be having a lot of orgasms. It's going to be very like self-pleasure based and juicy and fun. Very naively thought that was what it was going to be, because obviously that's like a massive part of the work that we do. Obviously, it wasn't all like that. But yeah, I think I really didn't know, because it's quite hush-hush like what the retreat is. I think people don't really share the experience because it's better to not know what you're getting yourself into. It's better to just have no expectations and just go with the flow. So I didn't know much, but obviously being in the program last year, it blew me away. It was incredible. It was deep. It was powerful. It was challenging, all of the things. So I was expecting that. And that was what was delivered at the retreat, all of the above. I was just ready. I was like, the timing is perfect. Last year didn't work out for me. I was getting married. And the timing for me was right this year. So I trusted that the synchronicity of it all, that I would get exactly what I needed, but I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, exactly. I think too, for me, very similar. Like, I knew it was going to push me in my edges. I knew it was going to be uncomfortable at times. I did think it was going to be focused a lot more on like bliss and orgasmic energy, a little less of the shadowy stuff. And I didn't know what to do, but I felt really called to be there. And I was like, I'm just going to show up. I'm going to make this like a big priority and get myself there. And I think going in, I thought it wasn't going to be as intense as it ended up being. I was like, oh, nudity is going to be a bit like edgy for me. Like, I haven't really been in my sexual body around people a lot. So I thought that would be a little bit of an edge. But then what actually transpired, I think, was a lot more than my expectation was heading into the retreat. So On night one, when we first got to the retreat center, we set intentions for the week, and you and I got paired into a mini group together. We were standing off to the side in the big group of 100 women, and then they told us to gravitate towards one of the support staff, and you and I both ended up in the small coven together. Mm. I would love for you to share what your what your mental process like was in that circle and what you shared with the group. Cause I think it's an interesting tone to share for how the rest of the week went.
Yeah. So when it comes to intentions, I always trust in the moment what is going to come through. Like I'm not, you know, I trust myself enough that I know the right intention will come through at the moment that I'm asked to speak, to share it. And I can't remember precisely what I said, but of course I remember the intention. I said, I think my intention is obviously to, I'll receive exactly what I need. I'm going to be open and trust the process, have no expectations. But the word that's coming through for me is shatter. And I was like, I don't know why this is coming through. I don't know what it means, but I've never even said this word. Like, I don't know when I would have last used that term. But I was like, I feel like it's shatter. Like all of the pieces need to be broken apart so I can be put back together was what was coming through. And yeah, like the joke's on me. I maybe shouldn't have spoke out loud. I should have just been like, that's not my real intention, because that is literally what has happened and is still happening for me. I'm still going through that process. So intentions are powerful.
Yeah. Oh my God. Do you want to go into that a little bit? Like what the week was like for you, what you feel comfortable sharing on that note of shatter?
So that, I mean, exactly what happened to me was I was shattered. I was torn to pieces by this retreat in the best way possible. And I'm still putting the pieces back together, but I'm getting to choose what those pieces look like now. And it's really, really powerful. But it was, I don't want to scare people about retreats, because I do want to preface this by saying what I experienced at this retreat is not what you normally experience at retreats. Retreats.
And yeah, share that you do them a lot.
Yes, I've done many, many retreats before. I've attended many retreats. I host my own retreats. And my experience was what I needed and the depth that I needed for this current phase of my life with everything that I'm going through right now. But this isn't a normal retreat experience, because when I share this with people, they've gone, oh my God, like, that's crazy. So for me, you know, we had day one. Maybe we should go through like each day and chat about that so that we can get to.
Let's get to the middle. The crazy.
Okay. Day one.
Yeah. So my intention for the week, I don't really, like you too, I don't really remember exact words I use, but I remember the sensation and the thought, like the feeling in my body. And that was, or I guess a bit of the words, but what I remember saying was something about meeting new layers of myself and unraveling like this tight wind that I have around myself about being like a bit more in control and composed. I don't really let myself feel like out of control a lot of the time. And so my intention was to like peacefully and gently tap into a bit more of my edges on both sides of the spectrum, like the shadowy bits, but also the pleasureful ones, right? I think getting to be able to push in towards ecstasy and bliss and real orgasmic states, but then also being able to touch into like my grief and the heartbreak and the bit of the heavierness that was there, and not feel like I needed to control my body's movements or expressions or the way that I was thinking and feeling about the retreat. And I think the beautiful thing about the cadence of how the week was set up was it was so intense scheduling wise. Like it was 8 a.m. in the morning until 10:30 at night. And there was no real pause or like spaciousness to really be in like worry or be in like over processing, because you were always moving to the next thing. And you're always like, I don't like the word busy, but you're always busy with something. Like you're always occupied, either your body physically or your mentally, like thinking through something that the teacher was teaching or that your coachee was like experiencing. And so, yeah, there wasn't this – typically I have a lot of time to stew in my real life, and I think the retreat really pushed my ability to – like showed me that I don't have to do that when I can stay outside of my mind. And I think that was the really cool thing. I think also the thing that I wanted to reflect, which we'll get into, I'm sure, with the structures of the days, but every day we were basically able to have a temper tantrum as an adult. Like every day we were allowed to emote in ways that were more extreme than you would typically have in your day-to-day life. And so I think that processing of those emotions really allowed me to like keep flexing that expansion, where I was like, okay, yeah, I get to emote these maybe harder, challenging things, but then get to feel on the plus side what is on the other side of feeling through something difficult.
I love that. I also love that when you're doing this with other women, especially a bigger group, you feel that permission to have those sacred tantrums and release the emotions and feel, because whatever you're doing, you can hear someone else going 10 times harder or like 100 times more wild over on the other side in your room. You're like, all right, I'm going to turn it up a little bit. So it's really powerful to do that in person with other women.
It was really neat that way. I was, when I've shared with friends and family about the week and saying, you know, there was 100 people. And when we were doing group exercises or when we were doing the really deep work, oftentimes it was half of the group was facilitating at one time and half of the group was receiving or in their own process. So at any one time, you had 50 people to 100 people emoting in the extremes. And I was like, extreme levels of bliss, ecstasy, orgasmic, like screaming at the top of their lungs in the most pleasure they've ever experienced, or like deep in the shadowy, like hard shit, the muckiest muck, like guttural screams, guttural roars, like the hardest, heaviest cries you've ever had. And I was like, all of this is simultaneously happening most of the day, like from sun up to sundown, most of the time. One of, like, at least you're seeing or you're feeling into someone experiencing both sides of that polarity, which was, I think, part of the intensity of it. As a highly sensitive person, like always just being around the bigness of the emotions, it was so beautiful to get the permission to be able to lean into it. And the sound privacy when, you know, 100 other people are roaring, you're like, yeah, I get to roar too. Like I get to literally howl or cry or scream or cry in a way that maybe you don't have permission in your everyday life. But then at the same time, you're also feeling the depth of everyone else going there. And at times, like I caught myself, I think on the first night we did howl like all together. Yeah. And I was getting like choked up because it was like feeling everyone's intensity all at once in that room was really powerful.
So powerful. The energy was unlike anything I've experienced before.
Yeah. And I think the 100 people does make it really wild. I think everyone that I was talking to was like, wow, I thought it was like 20 people.
Yeah. I was nervous about the 100 women thing, but it was perfect.
Yeah, it was exactly as it needed to be. Mm-hmm. So if we go back to day one, that first full day, what was your vibe when we walked into the room and we were starting the day off with a pleasure practice?
Gosh, thinking back, it feels like a lifetime ago, but I think at this point I was ready. I was open. I was definitely a little perhaps apprehensive, but the pleasure practice, I got into it. I was like, yeah, this is a vibe, like using the yoni egg. We can do that. Well, that was the yoni egg, the first yoni egg one, wasn't it? Yeah. I think, I mean, undressing was like a little bit weird at first, but then by the end, I had a really good time. I definitely experienced pleasure and felt comfortable. And thought, you know, I can do this. I can do this all week. I've got this. If this is what it's going to be, I was like, we're good.
Yeah. I remember too feeling really in my head that first experience, that first JDAG practice, but realizing like how neutral things became. And that kind of became a theme of the week, is like you would feel uncomfortable or be like, okay, I'm like meeting some resistance here, or like this is a bit stretchy. And then you'd start doing it and you'd wade in and you'd either like take your clothes off or you'd start the JDAG practice or the breath work or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, like very quickly, it became a lot more neutral than it ever was in my life. Like, oh, nudity, like this is just bodies. This is so normal. This is the human body. And then it was like seeing and witnessing people in extreme states. It's like, oh, that's so normal. That's the human expression. Like people get to be in those spaces and you're not like, oh, that's an exorcism, you know, like that's something demonic, or like, you know, the church teaches us that those things are, we should be fearful of those things. So it was really interesting to see how fast things became, like the edges around them softened. Did you experience that as well?
Yeah, I definitely did. And I think the biggest thing for me was, again, how neutral things became, but how powerful it was for everybody to be in their own experience. Like there were times where we were being sexual with ourselves, yet there was nothing sexual about it with other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like we were naked, we were doing these practices, we were in our own pleasure, but there was nothing weird about being there with other women because it was still sacred, because there's no exchanging of sexual energy or sexual like attraction between anybody. It was like, we're here to practice, we're here for our own sacred experience, and we're just going to witness each other. Well, we weren't even witnessing through sound, not through sight, because eyes were closed. But it was really powerful. And speaking about this with people, they're like, what? Like, this sounds wild. And I'm like, it was, but it was so liberating. And to just get to a place of neutrality with bodies and with our own pleasure and our own sexuality is like, wow, that's so freeing. And it's so healing of so much shame that we have been taught to internalize about our bodies and our pleasure and our bodily fluids and our sexuality and our noises and all of that. And it's so incredible to have had that experience.
Yeah, exactly. It was a boundary. We weren't allowed to be sexual with one another in the session room outside of, that room. We could do what we want as full adults, but we weren't allowed to have those intimacies. So I think that created a lot of safety too, to meet our own experience, however it needed to be in that space. And the other thing I wanted to say about experiencing like pleasure next to someone and in tandem with someone. It was so funny because I was in the ocean or the pool, I think, one of the days towards like the later half of the week. And it was after we had done that like sex magic ritual the night before. And someone was like describing someone to me and they were like, oh, have you met so-and-so yet? And I was like, no, I don't think I have. And then she like described her a bit more. And I was like, oh yeah, she was coming beside me last night. Like, it's just so funny that like that phrase got to be used in the context of a work trip for us, right? Yeah. This retreat was so we can be better facilitators in our work. So that was really funny. But that memory holds strong in my mind.
Maybe not. I mean, who knows? Maybe there'll be many opportunities that you'll share that sentence again, or maybe not, it's funny.
It was definitely the first that came out. Okay, so let's jump into the breath work, because I know I also want to keep some details, sparse, just in case people who do experience this certification in the past are listening, or in the future are listening now and going to eventually do it. I want to keep something special for them. But let's talk about the breath work. Obviously, that's a major theme in the Vita program. And that was, I think, the biggest part where you experienced transformation and that that shatter experience. So how do you want to scaffold up to that experience? Is there anything you want to share that makes that story unfold in a smoother way?
I think that, I mean, anyone that knows me, I'm a huge fan of breathwork. I have done two breathwork facilitation certificates. I harp on about breathwork to every one of my clients, everybody that I know. I'm obsessed with it. It's a big part of the work that I do, the retreats that I host, and my own daily practice. It's pretty much my one of my daily non-negotiables. So I was pumped for the breathwork. I was so stoked. I was like, yes, this is going to be epic. And I also had no idea that we were going to be facilitating breathwork as well as receiving it. That was very exciting to me to learn, but I didn't know. Like, I really didn't know anything about what we were getting ourselves into. So I was really excited and thought, this is going to be easy for me because I do so much breathwork that I'm familiar with it. Like, I know, maybe you can share a little bit about how you felt about breathwork, because I know your experience going into it was very different from mine. And then I was the one that was like torn to pieces. So how did you feel about it?
So we saw on our schedule, it was very vague, like each day when you saw the schedule, but that day when we woke up and we saw the board, it said like, I think it was a 2.5 to 3 hour time gap for the breathwork. And I was like, oh wow, like we're doing a real intense breathwork session. And my breathwork knowledge is, I have a bit there, but I don't have as much experience. I'm not a facilitator. I don't practice. I do practice breath each day in my meditation with the Open app, but I don't, I'm not well versed in the world of breath, but I do use it really intentionally. And so I saw that big time gap and I was like, oh, so everyone's kind of speculating like what's going to happen in the afternoon, and we're chatting about it. And I was like, honestly, I think we're just going to like have this really like euphoric. We're going to like lay out, we're going to rest. It's going to be like really restful and we're just going to hang out. And Steph looks at me and she's like, no, like it's not going to be restful at all. Like we're going in and it's going to be intense, like especially with that time frame. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I thought I was just going to kind of get like a nap in the afternoon, like after traveling all weekend, right? So anyway, we walk upstairs, up the staircase into the room where we were doing our sessions, and I see barf buckets all lining the room. And I was like, Jesus, take the fucking wheel. Like, I have the worst phobia of vomit and I will do anything to avoid it. And at that moment, I was ready to get on a plane back to Toronto because, my fear of flights is less than my fear of vomit. So anyway, I was really meeting that resistance. And I was like, okay, this is on our agenda every day of this week. I have to figure out a way to stay in this room and to tolerate and to come to acceptance that I'm like going to meet some of my really big shit here. And so I went up to one of the support staff and I just said like, hey, how common is it that people are going to vomit? I don't know if I can do this. And she said to me, she was like, you know, it's not that common, but you guys just did eat lunch. Like, we have them here really mainly just in case. She's like, in previous years, it hasn't been that common. And I was like, okay, but there's literally like maybe 30 buckets around the room. Like, are we heading into an ayahuasca ceremony? This is wild. So I'm sitting nervous and I'm sitting near Steph and we ended up partnering together for that first day. And I had a beautiful experience, both facilitating and breathing that day. And I went to like a really beautiful, blissful state and I really enjoyed it and I enjoyed facilitating. And so that the success of that day made me feel like I could do the rest of the week. But yeah, it wasn't at all what I thought was on the agenda for the week.
Yeah, it was definitely a shock walking into the buckets.
Yeah. Did you think that would be a possibility in the room?
I mean, I have been to a retreat before where buckets were given out at breathwork, but nobody had to use them. So I have experienced that or like known, of course, that that's a possibility, but I'd say it's like pretty rare and it didn't freak me out because I'm like, whatever my body wants to get out, if my body wants to purge, let's go there. Like, I'm ready. So I was like,
you had the combo scars still on your arm when you arrived.
Still do. I was like, yeah, this is good. Like, if my body wants to throw up, I'm game.
Yeah.
Even though I was part of
it. And I was like, don't, please don't.
Trust the body.
But we got through it. That day was good. And you've enjoyed that breathwork day as well, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed the first two. That day specifically was, I think it was a gentle intro for all of us. Maybe not for some people from the noises, but I really enjoyed it. And the facilitation was beautiful. It was like, you know, a little bit of a release. But then I think I got into like heart opening and it felt really like loving and it felt beautiful and peace. And so I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed being partnered with you and guiding you and you guiding me too. It felt really safe and beautiful. So that was a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I don't know if I could have done that day with someone I didn't have like a rapport with already and like a level of safety and knowing because I was really outside of my window of tolerance when we walked into that room. I don't even remember what the theme of that day was. Do you remember what the theme of that breath was?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was just opening. Yeah. I would need to go back to the old journal. You know what I mean? Yeah. My journal.
So then we had another day of breath work, which was the Tuesday. Day went well for you?
The heart opening day. Yeah. Beautiful. It was beautiful.
Breast massage.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. It was so powerful. It ended up being, kind of maybe blissful, but just love, acceptance, clearing, opening. I was like, yes, this is exactly the kind of experience I wanted this retreat. Like, so much healing, so much opening, like letting my body go. I was like, we got this. This is all good. Day two, we're good.
I think the thing too about the breath that I really loved and I thought was so special was like the non-sexual intimacy that took place between the breather and the facilitator, like pairing in those partners. I remember specifically on that heart day where we did the breast massage with my partner, like just so much love between the two of us and so much like nurture and nourishment. There was at one point where I was sitting, I think we were all guided to do this, but you were sitting behind the breather and you were kind of holding them in their heart space and on their belly or like the back of the back of them. And it was this form of intimacy I haven't experienced with women in a long time of like this real, I've got you, like I'm here, I'm in the shit with you. Like, I was wiping the tears off my partner's face. Like, she held me in just like the most loving way. And I was like, oh, like humans, we're just so special when we give ourselves the permission to be able to be in our vulnerability and to be in the full bandwidth of this expression of life. Mm. Like, I found that day to be really, I will always remember that day and that breath and that person I partnered with that day, because it did change the course of, I think it changed the course of my life. I'm not trying to be too dramatic, but like it really did open some shit for me in a way that I'm like, wow, I get to see the world differently through this lens, which is really cool.
Wow. That's really powerful, because I believe as humans, we're starved of touch and we're starved of the depth of connection that we are really meant to have. And yeah. What was so powerful about the whole week and experience, and as you're sharing this, it's making me reflect even more deeply on how this was so profound to receive. For when we were doing the breath work, it's about an hour or so each time, to have a woman's attention, and there's no purpose behind it, essentially. Like, it's not like you're receiving a massage where you're getting into all of the different cracks. It's like you just have somebody's presence, and they're guiding you and they're prompting you and they are touching you. But even when they're not having that, consensual of course, and you can always opt out if you didn't want to receive their touch, but it was, you could just feel their presence, you could feel their energy as you're going on your own journey. Like, that in a one-to-one capacity was so powerful. And I really loved at the end of each breath work, we would ask, or we would tell our facilitator what we would like the most, how we would like to be supported. So being able to speak, I'd love to have my thing was, I'd love to have my head rubbed, or like my head stroked on my neck and shoulders. And it was so beautiful to know that there's no time limit. You know, sometimes when you do arm tickles with a friend or with your partner, mm-hmm. like back tickles, it's like, when are they going to end? Whereas I knew the safety in this, of they're doing this and they're enjoying it and they're nurturing, and there is no fear of when it's going to end. I just get to receive, and they're just sending me their love, and I can feel it through the way that I want to be loved because I've requested it. It was so powerful, so transformational. And I believe the world needs more of that kind of connection and experiences between women, between humans in general.
Yeah, those two things, like my love languages are physical touch and words of affirmation, and the week was just so nourishing for those two things, because we were always, there was so much consent and communication, and there was so much praise and celebration, and then also the physical touch was just there, and there was that, not that expectation for needing it to look or feel a certain way. And there was just so much spaciousness with it, which is really amazing. And as someone who's been going through a breakup, and there's been months here where I've been fairly on my own and lonely, to be able to experience that type of intimacy in a way that just feels like a warm, juicy hug. It's like just the best. It's so, like, fills you right up. And it was so funny because I came back home and I was so lonely. Like, I came back home and being, and you know, every meal we had, we could sit with multiple people and chat and have really deep conversations, like so much just like being togetherness and like leaning your head on someone's shoulder and like, you know, just the cuddles and all of that. And it's like coming back to the real life and being like, oh yeah, I don't have 100 people to hang out with every day. What do you mean?
So we got to create that for sure. And I do just want to add too, it's interesting if your love language is physical touch. Mine's definitely not. In fact, I love hugs and love connection now because of the work that I've, so much of the work that I've done. Mm. But it was really healing for me because growing up, I didn't receive a lot of physical touch. My parents weren't very affectionate. They weren't nurturing in that way. It was like growing up in England, it was a little bit more like a Victorian style. That's just not the way that they shared their love in that period of time. And so I think it was really healing for me to constantly, and this is actually one of the reasons why I love retreats, because there you are a lot more touchy, and like that's helped me heal that part of myself that doesn't feel safe receiving that or feels uncomfortable receiving that. And as humans, we need touch. We need that. It's really, really important. And so for people who maybe don't find that comfortable, there's so much healing in letting yourself be held and be supported, and also supporting other people in that way. So it was really beautiful in that way.
Yeah, I could totally agree. So that leads us into day three.
No. Oh, okay. Day three. My favorite day.
So day three was, the theme of it was womb breath. And I Steph had a hard day that day, and I said, did you want to pair together so that, because you know what I'm like as a space holder, and I said, how can I support you best? And she was like, yeah, honestly, that would feel good. So we ended up pairing together, and I said to her something before we started, and I was like, honestly, like, I haven't had any children. I haven't really had any womb trauma. Like, I don't really think much is going to come up for me. Like, I think this should be pretty chill. And because she was tender that day, like, I was like, you know, this should be an easy space holding situation. And the two of us got, like, we should have knocked on wood, because the two of us got into the depths, and Steph more so than myself. But we both went to some...
You went there. I mean, you definitely went there as well.
Yeah, yeah. And for you, like, struggling through the space holding and not feeling the best and having to do that, I can only imagine how hard that was. So share whatever you feel comfortable sharing about day three and the womb breath work, and maybe your biggest aha about the power of the womb, or like what's the wisdom that's come through that you're going to carry through the rest of your life.
So much, but it really has reinforced for me how important it is as women to do this healing around our wombs, even when we don't think we have that much trauma, like you shared. And that was sort of how I felt too. I don't have anything specifically at this point in my life where I feel like there is trauma inside of my womb. From the typical things that we would think women would experience to create that trauma. But we do. And for me, I was very tender that day. I had something come up. So I was already very emotional. I already was feeling like a little not myself. And this day broke open the floodgates for me in terms of emotions and things I've been suppressing for a long time. So let's get into how this started. So in this one, I was like, I want to be facilitated first. Let me breathe first. Big mistake. But anyway, it was perfect the way it worked out. So I was like, Jenna, can you facilitate me first? And it really was important to me to be with her, because I was so tender from that, my experience that I'd had outside of the retreat that day. I wanted to feel that safety. I wanted to feel that support. And I didn't know what was going to come up. And that was what scared me the most. And I thought, I need somebody who kind of understands like where I'm at right now, so that they can properly support me. Because that's important for our body to feel safe, to be able to bring up what needs to come up. Because our body only brings up what we're ready to process, what we're ready to heal. And that sense of safety is really important for us. And so that's why I really wanted to be with you. And so we were doing the sharing beforehand. Always setting an intention with breath work is really important and necessary. And Layla had asked us to share, what do we fear the most? And I just remember saying, I can't remember the exact words, but I remember the feeling. I shared, I fear that everything's going to come up and I'm just not going to be able to stop it. Like, just shit is just about to break through and it's going to be painful and I'm not going to be able to handle it. Something along those lines. And I can like feel the fear almost in my body now as I share that. And as we went into it, obviously I intuitively knew what was about to happen. And I was like, oh God, am I ready? But as it goes, we get into the breath. And what's cool about this breath work was that they were very encouraging that we were not to lay down the whole time, that we were to use different positions, right? Like get on your all fours, stand up if you want, rock about, like roll around, so that you can move through the emotions, that you can move through whatever's coming up and not just be stagnant, because you can tend to get into a freeze response by just laying still. So that was really insightful for me. So I think it was like, it'd be interesting to hear this from your perspective, but from my perspective, I think I was maybe three breaths in before it all started to come up. Like it felt instant. Was that true?
Yeah, yeah. But very instant into the freeze response, like very instant into that. It's funny that you talk about the posture, because I don't think we actually talked about this and digested it together yet, but there was very little movement from your body. And that's why the trauma specialist who was like walking around the room, making sure everyone was safe and supported and, you know, going through a process in a way that was enough for their nervous system. She came over to me and I was like, oh, am I facilitating wrong? Like, right. Like I didn't know why she was coming over. And then I realized like Steph wasn't moving hardly at all. She was in tears and on her back. And we had kind of cocooned her eyes and everything, because that day the room was fucking wild. Like, if you're – I don't know what the kitchen staff must have thought down below us, but they were – like, this was the biggest day emotively. Like, everyone was in the extreme versions of every emotion, and it was loud. It was hot. It was noisy. Like, the floor was being stomped on. Like, people were – full on wailing. Like, it was really intense, and I had my back to everyone so I could be like really with Steph, but you were kind of getting bumped and nudged, and like, it was a lot happening behind. But yeah, okay, so I felt like you weren't moving a lot, and the breath dropped you into what I would say is what I noticed was like the tear state right away. So what was your process like, or what was your thought?
So it what I remember from this experience was instant tears, just hysterical, extreme emotions, unlike anything I've ever experienced. What it felt like, and what's cool about this, and this is the way breath works, is that you don't have to understand where this is coming from. You don't have to go into memories or specific experiences. And that was very much my experience. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't even know if it was all my pain, but it felt the entire time that I think it was an hour or something. It just felt like I was hysterically crying, screaming, like my whole body was in pain, just releasing. And it felt like I have a lifetime of suppressed emotions and pain that I haven't fully experienced up until this point. It felt like all of that was coming up. It felt like I was experiencing my pain and processing it. Felt like I was processing pain from my mother, pain from my sister, pain from my grandmother, like these women, these powerful women that I've experienced so much in their lives that they never had the tools to process. It felt like it was all coming through me. And I was like, how is this going to end? Like, this is never going to end. That's what it felt like. I don't know how I'll ever get out of this state. Obviously, I did eventually. When we came to the end, it was profound. Like, there were pain in my joints. I had pains in my body. I think I was sweating a lot. It was really, really hot in the room because the sun was starting to come down, so it was blaring into the room. So,
and no air conditioning.
No air conditioning, which just amplifies like the body's experience. But I felt so supported because I felt you behind me. I think you were cupping my ears from the sound. And then there was Phoebe who was there at some point. And then I remember Corey as well, the trauma expert. And I just remember feeling like it's okay, but I was just so in pure presence of emotions in the experience. And it felt like I was giving birth. Like, I was laying on my back. I was like screaming. I don't even know, like, your poor eardrums. It was probably wild, but it just felt like every sound, like every emotion was just coming through. And as I reflect back, it feels very powerful. It feels very liberating and healing. By the time it was painful and it was confusing. And because I didn't have the tie to where it came from, I think I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? Like, what's coming up for me? But it was, I mean, the best place for me to have that experience, and the support was just so beautiful. And you held the space so well. So I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, it's such a privilege to be a witness to something like that unfolding and that level of depth. And it really, truly, like, I remember you sharing the part about, this isn't just my hurt. Like, this is my grandmother's, this is my mother's, this is deep. And honestly, like, it kind of brings me like tears to my eyes and like chills, because this work, like, when you can be in a space with someone where someone can hold you in that safety, and you can set up this environment for yourself where you negotiate your boundaries, and you can talk about consent, and you can talk about your fears and your intention for the session, just as we did every day before we breathed together. We didn't breathe it together every day, but you know what I mean? And then you set that space up, and then you go into this like loving cocoon where you get to experience these parts of life that we try and polish up and keep tight and keep tidy. And we don't allow ourselves that range to like go into it. But how transformative and life altering it is to be able to go in with that support and make an edit, like course correct, change the trajectory, clean up some cobwebs, like do the stuff that your soul or, you know, your lineage or something really deep wants you to do. And then you get to do that. And damn, like what's on the other side of it. So I know it was hard and I know it was sticky, but to be in that room at that space in that time and have that much support available to you, like your body knew it could go there and it went there with the most love and safety behind it that it could ever create for yourself, you know?
Totally. Yeah. It was a very wild experience that I'm so grateful for, because the rest of the week was a challenge for me, a real challenge after that experience. Yeah. As a woman, as a human, as a facilitator, as a retreat host myself, the capacity of myself of holding people and guiding other people has just expanded so profoundly from having that experience and my own healing and transformation. Like I'm still in a portal now of healing and of growth and of integration and of depth and insights. And this truly feels like the deepest portal I've ever been in. And I'm so grateful for that, because that started in that breath work. And as we know, when you go into the depths of healing, when you go into that contraction state, the expansion on the other side, the bliss, the pleasure, the wildness that is to come is going to be mind-blowing. And I'm so excited for it. I'm not there yet, but I'm not rushing it. And this all started with that experience. So it was all perfect.
Yeah, I'm so excited to continue to meet those layers of you, like the newness that unravels from that place of healing and transformation and the deep work that you did and that you offered to yourself. So celebrating that in you. I think it was hard, but you were ready for it for some reason, right?
Yeah.
And you had prepared yourself to get to that place. So yeah. So was the week what you were expecting it to be?
No.
No.
Hell no. But it was exactly what I needed. I think if it had been all bliss and pleasure, I mean, that's not the way it works, right? Like we know this. You can't have bliss and happiness and ecstasy and juicy aliveness without having the other shit, without having the pain, the sadness, the hurt, the processing, the shadows, like going into those depths. We cannot have one without the other. So it wouldn't have been true to the work that we're doing and the work that we have learned and we're helping other women through, other humans. It wouldn't be true to that if it were all bliss and pleasure and we're like having dance parties every day and it was all fun. Like it just wouldn't be authentic. So now it makes sense to me. It wasn't what I expected. It was exactly what I needed. The timing couldn't have been better. And I honestly feel like I can see why women would go again or would desire to go again to that, because it was truly life-changing. And I really don't say that about many things, because I don't ever like to give my power away and say, this thing changed my life. I don't really believe in that. However, the facilitation of this experience allowed me to go to places that I didn't know existed, which has and will continue to change the trajectory of the path that I'm on and the life that I create. So mind-blowing, like incredible and amazing.
I love that you say that, because yeah, this for me, the biggest season that I've been in for the last 9 months, I guess maybe even a year, has been the season of grief and heartbreak, where you can't isolate. Like I've learned that you can't isolate emotions. Like to be able to have really joyful days and really ecstatic bliss and to have the juiciest, most pleasurable orgasms, you also can't numb the sadness and the grief and the heartbreak and the sad feelings and all of those things that are not so pleasant. And so the amount that I've been able to take the numbness away from those harder things, I've then been able to feel that amplification in the pleasure and the joy and all of those those juicy things that we want in life. And I really didn't feel that to the depths that I have in this last season of life ever. I've always tried to numb the stuff that's uncomfortable, which obviously then held me back from like the good stuff, which is
the juiciness.
Yeah, that's no fun. No. What did you like most about the retreat? And what did you like least?
Ooh, I liked most. it's hard to kind of pinpoint one thing really. I think just the connection, the authenticity, the lack of judgment between, I think we can come in on day one and it's natural that we judge other people to protect ourselves. We start to make judgments about the way that she's speaking, or I don't like this, or I don't want to do that practice. We judge things so heavily. And what was so beautiful is the walls come down and it was such a safe space. Like, if I think about what was so impactful on me is I had a fear of how many people are going to be there. Like, if I'm being honest, I'm more of a smaller group kind of person. I know we talked about this. I was like, my maximum people I can interact with is 19, because I was kind of joking, but I was like, I can't do more than that. Like, I can't have that many conversations. And actually that wasn't true. I had many conversations, really deep conversations over meals with people that I maybe only had one interaction with, but you could go up to any table, and this is 100 people, there's a lot of people, right? There's a lot of tables. But you could go up to any single table and say, hey, can I sit here? Yes. And you chat and you go deep and you connect and you see each other and there's no judgment and there's pure love and there's pure acceptance. And I've never experienced something quite like that, because I've never been in a space of 100 women doing this sort of work. So I think that was really healing for me. And if I'm going to pinpoint one thing, there was no fear going up to a random table or random people coming over to us who we hadn't interacted with. It was just all love. And it was like, wow, imagine if the world was like this, how beautiful it would be and how different our experience would be. So I would probably say that, but it's so hard, as you know, to like pinpoint one thing. What about you?
Yeah, that sticks out, I think, the strongest too, is the sisterhood healing that would happen there. And I was amazed with how myself I was able to be through that week. Like, even just walking up to, like, having breakfast, drinking a hot drink in the morning, like sitting next to someone, dropping into the deepest conversation. Like, there was no small talk ever. You weren't asking people, oh, what city are you, what country are you from? Like, what do you do for a living? Like, it was jumping into, what's your biggest fear? Like, what's the biggest heartbreak you've ever experienced? Like, what's your juiciest desire in life right now? Like, the questions were never light. They were always really deep and impactful and intentional. And so that conversation was so nourishing, the community. And yeah, I felt like I could really, really be myself. Like, I don't think I've ever been in a group of women where I felt as safe to be all of myself, like my weirdness and my funniness and like my just all my little things, you know, that maybe you try and keep a little like contained or like a little polished or like a little quiet. I wasn't like that during the retreat, and I was then at the end of the day is like proud, because I knew I was showing up as me. And that really did leave an impact. So I think the sisterhood and the ability for me to really like play in my sexual energy and cultivate it in a way that I haven't had the space or liberties to in the past, I think is one of the, would be the two like main things I really loved about the week.
I love that. And also, you are absolutely hilarious. And I love also witnessing how yourself you were and how everybody saw you and admired you, and people, because there was so much words of affirmation that we were all sharing. Everybody's just saying, your smile, you're so magnetic, like, and it's so true. And the world needs more of that. So never don't ever not be yourself. That doesn't make sense, I'm sure, but be yourself. Like, it was so beautiful to witness that and to be part of that and to experience your light and your joy and your play.
Thank you for seeing that in me. And same to you. Like, I mean, we were in compliment circles together multiple times, and everything other people were saying to you, I was like, yes, please, yes, more of this. So you are just such a special person. And I think having you there also in a lot of the spaces, we shared a lot of similar spaces together and shared a lot of meals together, and seeing people fall in love with you like through their eyes and witnessing that was really special, watching their reflections of you. And then also having just your presence around, I think made me feel more comfortable too, which was so special. So yeah, that's the weeks. What do you feel like? Is there anything we would like feel like we haven't gone into that would be helpful?
I think two things. One, I didn't mention sex magic, and I think that was a really powerful experience.
During a thunderstorm with lightning and thunderstorm.
Yeah, that was wild. And people, if we explain, I don't know if you want to explain what that is, but maybe Google it. I don't know. Like, do you want to go into what that is? But it was profound, that whole experience.
Yeah, let's talk about sex magic, because I think that'd be a fun place to end. I want to be cognizant of the time, but sorry, my chair is so squeaky if you can hear that. I'm trying to stay still. Okay. So in my, I'll say what it, how my interpretation of sex magic, and if you want to add anything or tweak it from your understanding too, welcome that. But my understanding of sex magic is manifestation through sexual energy. So taking your sexual energy, building it in your sex center, so in your genitals and in your root of your body, then moving that energy up through your chakra system, out through the crown of your head. And when you start with an intention or something that you want to manifest. So say maybe you're calling in your soulmate, or you're wanting abundance, or you're wanting to pray for a speedy recovery for, you know, a surgery or something really specific. You're launching a new business and you want it to be abundant and successful. So you start, you build that energy in your sex center, and then you circulate, you move that energy up through. And then when you get to the crown, you're basically pouring that intention and that vibration and that great positive energy that you've created in your body through pleasure out into the world for, like, surrendering that manifestation to the divine. How would you add anything to that description?
As you were sharing that, it just reminded me of so many compliments I heard people share to you of how beautifully and eloquently and poised almost you are with your words, with your explanation. It just reminded me of that. And I was just thinking, you're amazing. The way that you explain this is just so good. Like, I couldn't have said it better. I wouldn't have said it better, because you're like a sexy word magician. So that was a beautiful explanation.
Oh, okay. I love it. I'm a sexy word magician. Yes, I'm claiming this. I love it. So we went up to the room that night, and we were told, like, wear your sexy lingerie, wear a robe, like, put your makeup on, lipstick on if you want, like, do your hair, like, come up and arrive in adornment. And we arrived into the room, and typically our yoga mats were all set up towards the, like, viewing the stage where our head teachers were during the sessions. And this day they were all in circles. So there was three large circles and an altar in the middle. And this massive thunderstorm and lightning storm was moving through the jungle at this time. So these massive strokes of lightning are lighting up the sky and, like, lighting up the whole sky. You can hear the ocean rolling in. The thunder is booming, and, like, you can hear it coming from different areas of the jungle around you. And so we're all taking our place on the mats. The music's going. I think there was, like, even incense in the room or something. Like, there was lovely scent. It was a very beautiful sensory experience. And we all take our places on these mats. And this night was different, because when we're doing the self-touch practices in the other sessions, we were kind of all on our mats on our back and, like, typically eyes closed and in our own worlds. But this night we were, like, encouraged to take different postures, like move to all fours, move to standing, move to kind of cat-cow positions, scoop your pelvis, like kneeling on your knees, and different postures. So you could have almost a visual of everyone else in their orgasmic state around you, which was so empowering, like, to be able to see that many people in different iterations of what pleasure looked like and felt like, and their facial expressions, their sounds, their movements. That was, like, chilling to me. I don't know. What was your experience with witnessing that?
It was profound, and it was natural. It felt fun. It felt amazing. It felt liberating. And I really enjoyed the encouragement again of moving around and being in different postures. And I think that was also to help you really connect with each chakra that you were circulating that sexual energy through. But we don't have to be still. We don't have to be silent. We get to express ourselves in whatever way. So it was fun, and it was cool to see women fully embodied. There was nothing performative about this. We weren't there for one another. We're there for ourselves. It was cool. Like, that's just what keeps coming up is, yeah, it was really damn cool and fun.
Yeah. And basically 100 people orgasmed at the same time. Like, there was this clear crescendo of kind of everyone building together, and we did get to that crown, the tip of our head, and I brought that energy up through. Basically everyone was in this really, even if they weren't, like, orgasming, they were in this real pleasurable state of just, like, excitement or joy or calmness and emoting that kind of at this peak. Like the sound in the room was so like that sound will stick with me, I think, for a very long time, was how powerful that was. And a little tidbit as two sex coaches who are talking about sex that I think may be nice for someone to hear that's in their own self-pleasure experience. But your body has muscle memory. So if you're self-pleasuring the same posture all the time, a lot of people with vulvas lay on their back with like their hand between their legs, maybe their knees up bent. If you don't experience other positions for how you come or how you experience orgasm in your body, your body doesn't know that memory yet. So it's really fixated on that posture as the gateway to the pleasure or to that orgasm. And if you find coming with a partner challenging because you feel like you need to be in one way, that could be a piece of the puzzle. So just trying to mix it up in your self-pleasure routine, like having different postures, I think is really amazing. Just as we did in that sex magic practice, getting on all fours, you know, standing from time to time, maybe even sitting up, just changing your body posture. Do you agree?
Yeah, so true. Such a great piece of wisdom to share with people, because people don't know that. And then they're like, why is it only happening in one way? So it is that element of having fun and breaking out of the mold of what we think it's supposed to be in terms of sex and orgasms and pleasure. There is an endless supply of bliss and pleasure and orgasms that we can experience. And it's having fun with that and getting curious, right? And being like, ooh, how can I switch it up a little bit and make this fun? Because I feel like the fun gets sucked out of what it is oftentimes for people in their own practice or in partner practice, because they're so focused on the goal, they're so focused on got to get the juicy O that we miss out on the pleasure. And there is so much pleasure in the journey and in the process and in the turn on. And even with bringing it back to the sex magic, I loved after we all had that experience and reached the peak, the climax, the orgasm, shooting that energy up, going into that five senses reality of like, what does it feel like? What does it look like being in and with living your manifestation? And then after we brought that to a complete, we all stood up naked and were just dancing, and everyone was so free. And the fun, the energy of fun and play in the room was incredible. Like, it was palpable. You could smell it, you could taste it, and everybody was smiling and just in their own zone. And that was probably a core like magic moment for me, was that moment after and feeling, because I was like, I'm just gonna put my clothes back on. And then I was like, no, I'm not. I'm gonna dance freely and naked, and we can have the boobs going everywhere, and it's all good. And it was incredibly healing and liberating. And I have a visual, like a picture of that in my mind forever, and it's such a beautiful memory.
Yeah, it's so special. I think too, one of my biggest takeaways of the week was I fell more in love with my own body through the praise and the celebration and the worship from other women who poured that onto me without expectation of me to provide like a blowjob or like provide something in return, you know? Like, it was just such a pure unconditional love and admiration for my body and that celebration. We were all doing that to each other throughout the week, of just like either being completely neutral, being completely celebrated. And to be in that presence made me feel more like, wow, this home that I live in gets to be celebrated more, and I should find more opportunities to praise it rather than diminish its magic and speak ill towards my body, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like so self-conscious of my tits, and I'm like, oh, I need a boob job. And like, I came back from that week after just being like, no, like, these are the beautiful boobs that I was blessed with, and I get to just live in them. Like, I get to celebrate them. And if I pour more love into them, then how does that change the shape and how does that change the tone? Which is so cool. Did you feel like anything changed for your body throughout the week?
I definitely found a deeper sense of love and acceptance and peace with my body. I think the more profound shift for me was with my emotions than with my with my body. And that was, I no longer fear or resist the sadness and the crying. And I'm seeing that as such a beautiful thing since the breathwork experience, and releasing so much suppressed emotion from such a young age, where I started to protect myself by closing off and by not showing my emotions. And it feels like such a gift to be like, I don't have to do that anymore. And I have the gift now of being able to be with my emotions in the moment and to cry when I need to cry and to feel the release of the tears running down my face and to go into my journal and reflect and just write out. I never want to lose that. And I'm so grateful for it because I am fully friends with my sadness and I'm fully friends with crying. And I've cried more since June than I have probably in my life. Like genuinely, I cry all the time now and I'm not afraid of it. I'm crying in front of other people. Like I'm letting the tears flow down and I'm like, wow, how incredible is this for me? Like I don't have to be afraid of this anymore. And it's such a sign of strength and it's such a sign of courage. And it's such a sign for me of how far I've come in my journey. And so the relationship with my emotions has so dramatically changed. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, this week really, that week, it's like it's just happened, but it's been fully 2 weeks or more, I don't know. It was so special and I'm so grateful that we got to experience that together and that we got to spend so much of it together in each other's experience of your facilitation and just deepen our sisterhood and our special connection that we, the divine, put in our lives, which is so cool. I back Steph's ability to facilitate fully, and she has some really cool offerings, and she's a lovely space holder. So if you want to experience any of these things that we've been talking about today, if you're like, okay, like I want to do some of this healing work, I want to experience some of this bliss, I want to feel more pleasure in my body or feel in love with my body, we both offer this privately. So you don't have to go to Costa Rica to the jungle and experience it in the depth that we necessarily did. That training provided us the skills to know how to take ourselves to a depth far beyond what we'd ever have to deal with a client. And so we both came out of that experience as profound space holders with so much unconditional love and support and knowing how to triage the hard stuff. So yeah, if you do desire support, we will have Steph's contact in the show notes. I'll also get her to share audibly here just a few ways to get in touch with her. And I'm sure we'll collaborate something in the future. The two of us are not just getting started with the magic that we're pouring into the world. So I'm sure there's going to be some juiciness to unravel here soon. Steph, why don't you share how people can get in touch with you if they feel called?
Yes, I would love to. I love this conversation and love to continue conversation. So the best place to find me is on Instagram. My handle is I am Steph Morris. I'm also everywhere, Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube, Threads now, all over the place. And the same handle, I am Steph Morris. Website is stephmorris.co. So pretty easy for you to find and would love to hear what you loved from this experience, what you want to learn more about. And if you do want a Costa Rica jungle retreat experience, that is my jam, which I also do, but reach out to either Jenna or myself. And we love the collaboration energy. And this is what I love so much about you, that you actually really taught me since we met initially in 2020. You showed me how women can be collaborative and supportive of one another. And there is no competition and there is no, yeah, silly games that we have to play. And I'm so grateful for that. So I just wanted to add that because that was a huge thing that I learned from you.
Exactly. So if you want a smaller scaled version, but you want to visit the jungle, one of Steph's amazing retreats would be a way to do that. She's a great retreat facilitator as well. And that's not something that I'm currently offering. So amazing. You can go to the jungle and hang out with probably a much more gentle, much more soft integration into the healing work than she had to experience because she went to that depth, so she can hold you better. So yeah, thank you so much, Steph, for being here with me today and to chat through this experience. I wanted to recap this retreat in a way that did it justice, and I knew talking with you would do just that. So thank you. I love you.
Thank you so much. You're the best. I love you. Thank you.